18 this evening. I had felt some time ago that the subject of prayer would be the subject to look at in the evening services for a certain number of weeks. But this afternoon I thought perhaps I would go a different direction tonight. But as I laid my notes down and turned around in my seat to get a book or something to look at, I think I was getting ready to get up to get a commentary to look at another thought. And the Lord said, just almost very clear, audibly, said, no, you need to do this first. This, what you've already planned, what you've already got set up. So we're going to continue on with the subject of prayer this evening. I don't know what your philosophy is of prayer or the need for it. But I believe that the Scripture bears out very clearly from Christ's example and the words that are contained in the Bible regarding prayer that it is our source of strength. And by the same measure that we draw away from the secret place of prayer, so shall our strength be drawn away. I don't know how many of you have known personally. I don't know that I could say I knew R.G. Flexen personally, but maybe some of you knew him. You've shaken his hand and maybe even had him around your table, had him at your table chatting with him and fellowshipping with him. But what I know of him, what I knew of him, I remember him as a young man. I was just a child, I guess, and he was an evangelist in camp meetings. I remember that he just carried himself in such a way that we younger ones counted him as one of the old godly saints. And those that knew him the best will comment to this day that he was a man of prayer. He was a man of deep prayer, time spent in prayer. Those old timers had something. I don't use the term old timers in any way of disrespect, but they really had something. How much more should we in this day of ungodliness also to maintain our spiritual keen edge, keep it sharpened on the stone of God's Word in the presence of the unseen one. A thought that has come across my mind many, many times since I've heard it, read it, I don't know where I came by it, I know it's not original with me. And it goes something like this. If people would have prayed for me the same amount of time that I pray for somebody else, would it have been enough to convict my heart to get saved? The amount of time that I spend in prayer for others, had somebody spent that amount of time for me, would it have been enough? Here in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 18, there's two different prayers that are prayed. Begin with verse number 9, follow along. as I begin at verse 9 of Luke 18. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Boy, he was pretty pointed here, wasn't he? Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, that's a good prayer. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. What were we saying last week about the brevity of prayer? It doesn't have to be long. It just pointed to the point. Jesus then says, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The comparison that I notice here, that I want to notice, is the difference between the two prayers. I'm not going to focus deep on the difference, but simply to say that there are different kinds of prayer. There's prayer of the impenitent sinner. You know, the impenitent sinner's prayer consists of all kinds of words and phrases, but it leaves the one praying exactly where he was when he started. Then there's the prayer of the penitent, such as which is offered here by the publican, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's the prayer of the backslider. We would find an example of the prayer of the backslider in Psalm 51. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Those kind of prayers get results. They are usually accompanied by how does the psalmist say that? A broken and a contrite heart or spirit. And God doesn't despise that. As a matter of fact, the implication is that he takes notice of that. There's the prayer of the believer for heart purity. Also found in Psalm 51, verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Skip down to verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. There's also the prayer that the child of God would give and would say for the physical needs, for God to supply the physical needs and the material needs. Then there's also another kind of a prayer, and that's the prayer of the intercessor. The one that goes to the garden alone with Christ and fellowships with his sufferings as he agonizes over lost humanity. You see, there's all kinds of different prayers. R.G. Flexen, in his book, So Great Salvation, gives this statement. The spiritual realm in which one finds himself may be because of the problem in his prayer life. The spiritual realm in which one finds himself may be because of the problem in his prayer life. He goes on to say, one problem may be that he does not measure up to the laws of prayer. Have you ever thought about that? The laws of prayer. There's natural laws all around us. One natural law may take effect tonight. If you leave your tomato plants or your flowers outside, they will be dead by morning. Natural law. The frost will get them tonight. It sounds pretty promising. What about the laws of prayer? Have you ever thought about what the laws of prayer would be? Let's quickly look at what R.G. Flexen called the laws of prayer. I told you before that I'm not the authority on this. I have to go to somebody else, and R.G. Flexen is surely one that I can look to for example. The first to be considered would be the law of sincerity. In the psalmist, or in the book of the Psalms, in division chapter 66, it tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do you sense a little bit of insincerity in there? We come to God and we hold back on something. Lord, I really want you to save me. I really want you to sanctify me. I want you to do this or I want you to do that, but I hold back part of the price. The law of sincerity. Have you ever tried to pray around something? Oh, just be honest. Probably all of us have sometime or another in our spiritual lives, we come up against something. Now, granted, it was probably early on in our spiritual walk. We've kind of learned after a while we can't negotiate with God. Was it on Odyssey? Somebody said that you can't box with God. One of those stories the kids listen to, and, well, I do too sometimes. We just can't negotiate with Him. You ever tried to pray around it? Try to cover it up? As though it's not there. Attitudes. That's an easy one to try to cover up. Attitudes towards just about anybody. Now again, understand here that I'm getting a lot of information from Dr. Flexen. Listen to what he says about this covering things up or trying to pray around something. An overindulgence in legitimate things, such as eating, man, two times on one Sunday, sleeping, taking recreation, and visiting may keep one from getting his prayers answered. Brother Flexen, is that real? Well, I'd say that he lived by this. An overindulgence in legitimate things. We don't hear a whole lot about that anymore, do we? Nowadays, it's either black and white, sin or not sin. But there are some times and there are some things that God looks on. Maybe not as sin that will keep us out of heaven, but we need to refrain from, as he puts it, overindulgence of. I better move on. The second law is that of abiding. John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. If. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. A little boy named Billy was asked one time what his name was, and he said, "It's Billy." The person asking him went on to say, "Is it Billy Sunday?" "No, it's Billy every day." You say, well, what does that have to do with this? It just simply has to do with this abiding. Not just on Sundays, but every day. I'm a Christian every day. I purpose in my heart to be a Christian on a daily basis. I purpose in my heart to abide in Him today, no matter what comes. Number three, the law of agreement. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Have you ever put that promise to the test? If two of you shall agree. Now, we've got to be careful about what we're agreeing on. Otherwise, we're going to come up wondering what in the world happened. God didn't fulfill His promise. The first thing we have to, or the major thing we have to be understanding of when we look at that promise is that what we're asking for has to give God the glory, and we take none of it. James chapter 4, verse 3. If ye ask and receive not. Okay, that gets our attention. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Simply saying would be wrong motives, wrong desires. They don't come into play when we're talking about the promise of God. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, the glory has to go to God. There's no wrong motives. There's no wrong desires that come to play. Number four, the law of faith. Now here, I get into trouble. Oh, now don't get me wrong. I believe God can do anything but fail. I believe that. But I'm a whole lot like the one person Jesus talked to, and He said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I know you're able to. I'm just not real sure if you will. The law of faith. Whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now there was one time that Jesus questioned somebody about their faith. Matter of fact, it was such a way that He said, how is your faith? And the furtherance of that statement to that individual was, according to your faith, so be it. I wonder if that's because, if that's the reason why some prayers haven't been answered. Because I just wasn't really solid in my faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Finally, there's the law of obedience. Really, this is implied in all of God's promises. All of His promises. If man will do certain things, God says that He will do certain things. That's just the way it is. There's no need to pray until we have done our part. It doesn't do us any good to pray unless we are doing our part. God does not do what He commands us to do. He does not do for us what He commands us. Now, sometimes we get that twisted and we think it's scriptural. God doesn't do what we can do for ourselves. That's not really scriptural. God doesn't do what He commands for us to do ourselves. Now, if we were to sacrifice a whole bunch, all kinds of various sacrifices, we're extremely faithful to attending church. We even go so far to visit the sick often. We visit the ones that are in prison. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We do all kinds of stuff. All kinds of things. And we have quite a display of our talents. But it never will take the place of obedience. Go back into the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Wonderful story. Samuel, Saul. Saul sees Samuel. And what's he do? Starts flexing his muscles. Look, Samuel, I got all these sheep. I got all these oxen. We did it. Yeah. Samuel didn't even begin to smile. What was it that Samuel said? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. We can give, we can pour ourselves out in all kinds of, let me use the same word that was used already, legitimate things. But unless we are obedient, walking in the light as He is in the light, having fellowship with Him, then we don't really have any reason to expect God to answer our prayers. The laws of God are not to be broken. How about the laws of God regarding prayer in our individual lives? How do we measure up? How do we measure up to the laws? Saw a number of police officers parked along the road in our little bit of travels this week, back and forth to West Harrison, Indiana. Matter of fact, I think we saw quite a few automobiles sitting in front of police cars parked beside the road. Apparently they didn't measure up to the law of the land. And fortunately they were sitting over there with somebody in front of them when I came along. Otherwise he may have found something that I didn't measure up on. I tried to be obedient to the laws. I had some of your precious gems in the van with me. But how do we measure up to the laws of God when it comes to prayer? The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I want to see God answer prayer. Let's stand together.